about where we've been and why we're sitting in this text. Let's go to God. God, we come to you thankful for you and humbled by you. God, help us to trust you. The message over and over again in this text is that you bless those who put their faith in you. So God, we ask that you will give us a full faith, that you will focus our faith, and that that faith will produce fruit. God, challenge us this morning. We just pray that by your Spirit you will step on our toes, that you will call us out of our desire to settle, and that you will call us to go to battle for the blessings that you promise. We pray all of that over this text this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We are in part six, according to that, part six of our sermon series in the book of Numbers. We're in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. So we finished chapters 11 and 12 last week for the most part. You know, we're skipping around some. And a couple of things as we dive into this. The first thing you guys got to know is we have picked a lot of the meat off the bones in this area of text. So about a month ago, I talked about some of the dialogue between God and Moses that's in Numbers chapter 14. We're skipping a lot of that this morning. And I really recommend, if you guys are new here and you kind of want to know where we're at as a church, I really recommend about 4.5 months ago, we ordained two elders in our church. We called two men to step up as shepherds and elders in our congregation to help serve and lead alongside me and our team here, our leadership team. And so about 4.5 months ago, this was the text that we chose to preach. And what we focused on is in Numbers chapter 13, God sends out 10 spies from his people into the promised land so that they can see the land that God has promised them, and when the spies come back, most of them, 8 of 10 of them, are afraid and give what God calls a bad report, and then Caleb and Joshua give an honest but a good and fruitful report. And so we talked about what are you listening to, and are you one of those people that tends to focus on the fruit, or are you one of those people that tends to listen to the bad report? And so about 4.5 months ago, I encourage you, go to our YouTube channel. The sermon was called Growing Pains, and we were in this text, and we talked about how God points people towards the promised land and how sometimes we can get off mission just by listening to the wrong version of the report. And it was, I think God blessed that sermon. I encourage you, go check it out. For this morning, we're gonna round out the text a little bit, okay? We're gonna preach the rest of it, all the stuff that I've never really talked about in this sermon before. And man, there's even a sermon like 1.5 years ago that we preached through this. We've hit this text so much. So bear with me. We're going to do the rest of it. We're going to fill it out, okay? So first of all, let me see who I'm talking to this morning. Raise your hand if you're one of those people that just has always felt different. We're talking about a character. If you've survived Riverside for any amount of time, you're one of those people, okay? This is not a church for normies, you know what I mean? If you're just like a regular average Joe, you're one of those people that if you're still along for this wilderness journey, like if you're still on this ride, you're probably one of those people going, man, what horse have I hitched my saddle to? Why can't we just settle somewhere? What is going on with these crazy Christian people? And if you're one of those people that you're like, I'm just here for it. Like, I'm along for the journey. I want to see where this is going. I'm here for the adventure. Then you're the same kind of different that Caleb is in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And that's what God points out about Caleb. God looks at Caleb and goes, his spirit is different, which is why he goes to the places other people don't go to. It's why he gets the inheritance that other people don't get. And that's why he gets to do battle in ways that no one else is getting to do. Caleb lives his life differently, and this is where we see it in this chapter. So if you're one of those people, man, you've always felt different. You've always felt out of place. You've always felt like God was calling you to something else, or he was calling you to more, or maybe you were just one of those people that always got picked last, or you never really felt like you were understood, or you didn't know where you fit in, or you didn't know if you were worth anything, or you don't really just get along with everybody. anybody else, or you just look at some of this stuff sometimes, you're like, man, I just don't see it that way. I just see it differently. Then I encourage you, lean into this text, because Caleb is the hero of this text, and he is different. So, Numbers chapter 13, we're skipping a lot of this. God sends out 10 spies. The 10 spies come back. Caleb and Joshua give a report that the land is exceedingly good. They go, man, we went into the promised land. It's awesome. It's fruitful. The land abounds in milk and honey. It's everything God told us it would be. And some of you are still sitting there. You feel like you're on this wilderness journey. You're going the battle, and you're just waiting for God to give you what he promised that he would give you. And there's some of you that are here this morning, and you're going, I don't know if God ever does, though. Right? Like some of you, you're just in this place where you're like, man, I go to church. I hear every preacher talking about blessings. I hear every preacher talking about stepping into the calling that God has for me. I hear every preacher talking about finding my purpose. And it kind of seems like we just meander around the wilderness and we never really get there. And so there's a lot of people going, I don't know if I have very much longer to like hang in there. I don't know if my faith can hold on much longer, because it just seems like it's a whole lot of promises, but nobody ever gets the reward. And then you see Caleb. And Caleb gets the reward. And everybody else is complaining. Everybody else is grumbling. But Caleb, he starts out, he just sees it differently. He's like, man, the land is good. We want it. Let's go take it. Let's go into the promised land. Let's take what's ours. God promised it to us. And then everybody else is going, yeah, but I don't know if God really does that. And so if you're one of those people, you're like, I don't know if God really blesses people the way that his text promises, look around the room and ask the Calebs. Because there's people here that they are the exception to the rule. Like, there's somebody here that's like, my life is the proof that God is faithful. Your life is the proof of what God does to rebellious people, and my life is the proof of what it looks like when you are faithful, right? Like there's a lot of examples in my life of my life is what it looks like when you rebel against God. Anyone else? Like, some of you, you're just dealing with the mess of a life that rebelled against God. And all of us have those areas and those seasons. And it's in those seasons we rebel against God because we don't know if God's going to come through for us. And so we go, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if the blessing is worth the battle. I don't know if the blessing is worth the barrier. I don't know if the obstacle is worth it for the opportunity on the other side. I don't know if I want to keep going. And then you look around and you see the exceptions. You see the few people who go, look, if you live differently, if you've got a kind of different spirit, you don't see it the way everyone else sees it. You see it the way God sees it. He will bless your life, and then you get to live a life that goes, I'm proof that God is faithful. So that's what we're dealing with in this text. 10 spies have been sent out into the land. They journey the land for 40 days. Two of the spies come back with a different report. So all of them say, there's giants. And to them, we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. And we talked a lot about the psychology behind that about 5 months ago when we preached it. Go back and check it out. I'm not going to dive into it a second time. But he goes, look, we look small. But we see ourselves as small. And therefore, other people see us as small. And we don't think that we can take the land. And Caleb and Joshua are like, there are definitely giants, but God already promised it to us. So let's go. And so those are the two mindsets that are there. And here's the really cool thing about this. Whatever you're faithful towards is what you get. Have you guys ever noticed that? Like, the people who go, man, if we go try to take that land, we're going to end up dying in the wilderness. Like we're not strong enough to do it. We're just going to end up just signing our own, like, DNR, right? Like if we try to take it right now, it does not end well for us. And God's response to this is, because of your faithfulness, because of your faithlessness, it's not going to end well for you. And everything that you just said is going to come to pass. And so if you're one of those people, you're like, I don't think God blesses us. I don't think we get the victory in this. You don't get the victory in this. And if you're one of those people who go, you're right, there's giants. There's really big bad guys over there. I don't know if we can take it, but God said we could, so I'm going anyway. I think God's going to give us the victory. You get the victory. And it's just amazing that God is so faithful to you that he is going to give you what you go after. You just got to go after the right thing. So they gave Moses this account. We went to the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit, and they show people the big fruits. We're skipping some of that. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very long. We even saw the descendants of Anak there, which is like the descendants of Nephilim. They're the giants, right? And then he talks about all the other people who live there. And then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. I love that, because there's nothing in that that suggests that they can certainly do it, except that God already promised it to them. That's it. That's the only thing. The only thing that has changed is God said we could do it, so we can certainly do it. And you look at that faith, you go, that's different. Most people don't live that way. It doesn't matter if I have the numbers. It doesn't matter if I have the strength. It doesn't matter if I have the money. It doesn't matter if I have the skill set. If God said I can take it, it's going to be mine. God's going to give it to me. We can certainly do it. And it doesn't matter how opposed we are. It doesn't matter how outnumbered we are. It doesn't matter how many obstacles there are, because there's also opportunity. And God said the opportunity is already yours. And so he goes, we should go and take it. We can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with them said, we can attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. And they said, the land that we explored devours those living in it. And all the people we saw there are of great size. Let's look at that. The land that we explored devours those who are living in it. See, here's what happens. Your faith determines your focus, and your focus determines your fruit. You guys got me? If you guys take notes, that's what I would write down this morning. Your faith determines your focus. Your focus determines your fruit. Because here's the thing. The land has already been promised to them. Well, it's just a matter of who's going to end up inheriting the land. See, here's what God does. God's going, look, I've set aside this land for my people. Now, the when doesn't change. The how doesn't change. The where doesn't change. The what doesn't change. The only thing that's up for negotiation in this is the who. Who is going to inherit the land? See, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take over this land. My people are going to possess this land. I'm going to be glorified because I'm going to show my faithfulness to the world by allowing my people to possess the land. That's already promised. That's going to happen. The only thing you get to decide is, are you going to be one of those people? Do you have the faith? I'm going where God goes. I'm taking what God has for me to take. I want every single blessing that God says is available to me in this life, and then I want all the blessings I miss in this life available to me in heaven. If God says it's mine, I want it, not because I'm selfish, but because that's how we put God's glory on display. If he says the land is yours, then we get to walk around like the land is ours. And some of you, you're living your life, you're like, man, like God has called me to something, I just don't know how yet. And so here's our format. Your faith determines your focus, and your focus determines your fruit. Because, you notice, Joshua and Caleb, they go in full of faith. It's about God. God said it's ours, so it's ours. So what do they end up focusing on? The fruit. It, literally, the large grape clusters. I know we skipped some of the text, and maybe y'all don't remember. Maybe you haven't visited Numbers 13 in a while. But they go into the land, and they literally like cut off these huge clusters of grapes just so they can carry them back to the people and go, guys, look at how fruitful this land is. We want this. This is worth it. That's their focus. That they're focused on the fruit. They're focused on the promises. They're focused on the blessings. And then you have those that are focused on the obstacles. They're focused not on the opportunity, but on the obstacles, not on the blessings, but on the barriers. And it changes their focus. And because their focus has changed, their fruit changes. And so you look at the Christian world today, and we have some people that every time something goes wrong, they run back to Egypt. They go, God, you've left me out here to die. I don't want it anymore. Man, just let me go home. And then you have other people, they're like, okay, I know I was in bondage, and I know you've set me free, and I want to be free, but I don't have the stomach for the battle, so I'm just going to keep wandering. And you have a lot of Christians that you're just wandering around. You're not settled yet. You're not happy yet. You're not content. And you know, somewhere in here, you know, you are not inhabiting the space that God has promised for you. And so you just feel like you're wandering. You feel like you don't know where you're supposed to end up. You go, God, I feel this purpose and this calling and this hope that's inside of me. And I know that your gospel is growing me towards you. And I know that's supposed to like end in some kind of like fulfilled Christianity. But I just feel so unsettled. And the whole point of Numbers is God going, that's the point. You're not settled yet. Don't settle here and don't go back because that wasn't your home either. You haven't gotten to your home yet. You haven't become the person I'm growing you to be. You don't yet live in the house that I'm building for you because all of that is something you're going to have to go and take. If you have the faith. If you have the faith. Because if you have the faith, you won't focus on the bad stuff. You'll focus on the fruit. You'll be like Caleb. You'll go into the land and your faith will allow you to focus on the exceedingly good blessings of the land. And that is where your fruit will be produced. Because here's what happens. The people that are not focused on the fruit because they don't have the faith, those people do not get the promised land. The people with the faith had their focus fixed, and because their focus is fixed, they end up entering the land and taking the fruit of the land. So, all the people are complaining. They're all too big for us. We can't fight them. They seem like grasshoppers. We see that in the next verse. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. And that's such a deep statement right there. Let's jump into chapter 14. We preached that 5 months ago. I'm not going to recover it. Chapter 14. Okay. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. So if you've been following us in this sermon series, what we saw is first the rabble complained, and then those complaints rose to the congregation. The people began complaining. And then once the people started complaining, what we saw last week was leadership began complaining against leadership. And so we saw Miriam and Aaron rebel against Moses. And so by the time you get to chapter 14, now that they're up against their adversary, now that they feel like their life is being threatened because God's calling them to go somewhere and they feel like the enemies are too strong, now it's just outright open rebellion against God and his people. All the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. That's the first time that it's been everyone. We've seen different pockets of people rebel against God's plan and rebel against God's leaders, but this is the first time where it's everybody is rebelling and raising their voices against these people. And so all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness." Now again, if you don't have the faith and you don't have the right focus, you're never going to produce the fruit. And so here's what's going to happen. They're speaking their reality into existence. So Caleb's going, God promised it, I'm going to go take it. That's what I'm going to do. If God said I can have it, I'm willing to go to battle so that I can get it. He's speaking into existence his reality. But so are they. They go, God, I think you brought me out here to die. So what does God do to him? He lets him die. He goes, that's what your faith has produced. Your faith has said you're leading me out here to die, so you're going to die right here in the wilderness. And Caleb's going, my faith says you're leading me out here so that I can enter the space that you have promised me, and so God gives it to him. They're literally just being their own self-fulfilling prophecy. Where their faith is their focus, and their focus determines their future. What they're focused on produces the very thing that they get out of it. If you guys don't see the application there, guys, get your eyes off of yourself and focus on Jesus. Go where he tells you to go. Just walk where God says walk. And if God says, I've got a land for you, it doesn't matter how opposed you are. If God's trying to break a generational sin in your family, if God's trying to save your spouse, if God's trying to get you to step up and be an example in your workplace, if God's calling your church to transform your city, it doesn't matter how small you are and how big they are. If God says you can take it, just step into the blessing. All the Israelites grumbled, if only we had died. And God's response is, we can arrange that, right? Caleb's like, man, give me the promised land. God's like, we can arrange that. They're like, I think you're trying to kill us. He's like, we can arrange that, right? God is just literally handing them over to what their heart is focused on. So why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. God's going to use that against them. Like, oh yeah, you think that's what I'm going to do to you? Watch. Okay, we'll see that again. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? We preached that text too. I better not, huh? This entire sermon is just me skipping around all the parts that I preached to death, huh? I'll say it again. I said it 5 months ago, and I'll say it again. It's not as true today as it was 5 months ago. But step in with me on this journey that our church has been on. Because 5 months ago, you guys see why it was necessary for me to stop at this verse and go, how many of you guys are so tired and so burnt out and so exhausted and so tired of the change, so tired of the journey, so tired of the wilderness, so tired of the transition that Egypt is starting to look pretty good right now? And this is what we do. Every time it gets hard, we start making progress. Our marriage starts getting better. Our kids start getting better. Our employee relationships start getting better. Like, we start making progress in the places that God has to bring blessing into our life. But every time we make progress, there's battles and there's obstacles and there's hardship. And some of you get so tired and so burnt out that you're like, you know what? That's it. I give up. I want to go back to Egypt. I'd rather be a slave in Egypt than to be responsible for stepping in to my own blessings. And man, if that sounds crazy to you, maybe you just haven't been that tired. I can tell you, for a lot of our members, our church has been that tired. Our people have been so stretched thin that Egypt begins to look better and better, because at least in Egypt, you know what you're getting. In the promised land, it's so uncertain. We could go there and it could be fruitful. We could go there and we could die and we're not sure what we're going to get. And what matters is, what do you trust? Where's your faith at? Do you have the faith to trust that what's next is better than what you left behind? Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt only if you don't have the faith? If what you've left behind is truly better than what God has for you next, if you really believe that, then look, let's stop the train. You can step off right now. You will not survive the journey that this church is on. Because this church is going, look, we're not settled with where we're at. We're not done yet. We've got more work to do. God's not done transforming this city, and he's not done using this church to do it. Like, we're going to do it. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be tiring. It's going to be very, very difficult. But we trust God when he promises us that what is in our next season is better for us than what we left behind when we left our bondage. So they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. That's usually how that goes, right? We're not hitting the numbers we want, so fire the preacher. Let's go back to what we did before, right? That's how we handle that kind of stuff. Some of you were this close to a breakthrough in your marriage, and you walked away before God gave you the victory. You go, you know what? Let's change this person out. I'm done with this person. I don't trust this person. They're gone. I'm replacing them, and I'm going back to something else. We do this so often. We get so close to where God is leading us, and we forfeit it because we're afraid of something different or something unknown or something scary or just something really challenging. Because growth hurts. Like, all growth hurts. And it's painful, and it's very hard to step into the blessing that God has for us, and many of us choose to fire whoever's taken us that direction and go back to what we know. So Moses and Aaron fall face down in front of the Israelite assembly. They tear their clothes. They pray to God. God basically offers to just wipe out all of his people. So God's like, Moses, I'll give you a brand new people because I'm about done with these people. If you want me to just give you a brand new people to lead because you can't lead these people anymore, then just let me know and I'll do that for you. And Moses, the great leader he is, goes, no, because that wouldn't bring you the most glory. What brings you the most glory is showing the world what you do through this raggedy, messed up, rebellious group of people. So we get to chapter 14. I'm going to just fly through this, guys. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, maybe, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. So again, they are just speaking their truth into existence. Because in the last chapter, all the people that God's going to kill in the wilderness goes, that's a land that devours us. And then in this chapter, all the people that are going to inherit that land go, we're going to devour them. You guys see the difference? And no one's wrong. Like, all the people who go, we can't take it, don't get it. And all the people who go, God's going to give it to us, get it. You guys see that? It's just your faith. Your faith determines your focus, and your focus determines your fruit. And so you can just ask yourself right now, like, what am I focusing on, and where's my fruit? God has a future for you, and it's a future of stepping into your purpose and tasting the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But in order to do that, you have to focus on what God's trying to give you. Stop worrying about the adversary. Stop worrying about the obstacles. Stop worrying about all the reasons why you can't, and fix your focus on the blessing that God wants to give you, because both will become true. You can be one of those people that go, we can't do that. Our church isn't big enough. My family's not strong enough. We're not those kind of people. I'm not that educated. I don't have enough experience. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm too sinful. There's a whole lot of reasons why I can't take that. And God goes, you're exactly right, and that's why you don't get it. And the same person goes, God, I'm not good enough, and I'm broken, and I'm hurting. I got nothing to offer you other than the fact that you said you're faithful. And God, if you're faithful, then that means it doesn't matter how messed up I am. If you said it's mine, I can have it. To those who are faithful, it becomes true. And to those whose hearts rebel against the promises of God, it becomes true. It's just about where your faith is. Do you trust in yourself and that's why you can't? Or do you trust in him and that's why you can? So the whole assembly talked. So they said, we'll devour them. And their protection is gone because the Lord is with us. So don't be afraid. And the response of the congregation is, let's kill them. And we get that all the time. If you've stepped out in faith before, that's what happens, man. We love to stone people that outshine us. We just do. Man, when somebody is flying higher than we are, we do everything we can to shoot them down because it makes us feel a little bit taller and look a little bit better. And so if they're bearing fruit, we're going to find the one thing in their life that we can call them out for and then try to cancel them and try to ruin all the fruit that they're bearing because they're producing more than us and we get jealous of that. And so this is kind of just how we do. He's going, don't be afraid. We can do it. God promised us. Let's go. Let's step on into the land. Let's be on mission. Let's focus our faith like we can enter the promised land and have all the blessings that God promised us. And then the people go, stone those guys. We can't have any of that here. We can't have any of that talk. We can't have our hearts challenged and drawn towards God. And so if he's trying to call me to do more than I've already done, I reject him. I'm going back to Egypt. And this is God's response. And listen, please don't sit here this morning thinking that you're better than these guys, because we do this. This is us. We're the ones that rebel against what God is doing in our church if we're not getting credit for it, if we're not directly involved, if somebody else has more faith than us and God's just blessing it, we're the ones that find something that's wrong with them, okay? So look, this is us. When we're reading this, let's not think of ourselves as spiritually superior to these people, because we are the rebellious Israelites in this text, okay? And now what I'm hoping is that there's some of you that will choose to be Caleb instead. But if we're honest with ourselves, we all know that too often we rebel against God much the same way. So this is God's reply. I've forgiven them. Because remember, God's like, I'm going to wipe them out. That's it. They're done. I'm going to give them exactly what they're asking for. Instead of giving them the unmerited favor in my love and my mercy and my grace, I'm going to get them what they want, which is I'm going to kind of let them earn their own way and see what happens. Right? And so they're going, we don't want the blessings of God. We're going to do it on our own. And then God goes, okay, you're going to die in this wilderness. That's what happens. And so God's just ready to take them out right then. And Moses is like, you know, go easy on them. Moses is doing the job of the priest. Moses and Aaron are there to go, God, however we can lead them so that you can have mercy on them, so that they will be forgiven. And God relents, and God goes, okay, fine, I'll forgive them because they are my people, and I made a promise to them. I'm going to be faithful to that promise, so I will forgive them, but I'm not going to bless them. That they're forgiven, but they're not blessed. That's not the same thing. Some of you, you're here this morning. You're thankful that you're a Christian. You're just glad that you got out of your sin pit alive. And praise God that you're here right now. But some of you know you're forgiven, but you're not blessed. And so this is God's reply. I've forgiven them. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and saw the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. Not a one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. Look at this verse. God promised the land. He's going to give them the land. Like the land will be set out for his people. Just not everybody gets to be a part of those people anymore. This is the concept. I've been seeing this all over. This is something that was, I've never heard this preached. I don't know if people are talking about this. It was new for me. I've seen this repeated theme the last couple years as I studied the text, this repeated theme in the Bible where God's like, this is what I'm going to do. And if you want a part of this, if you want this to be a part of your legacy, you're welcome to come along. But either way, I'm getting it done. And so there's all these really cool texts in the Bible. We studied Nehemiah in one of our Wednesday series. And there's this whole area where Nehemiah reaches out to the neighboring leaders. And he goes, hey, we're trying to rebuild Jerusalem. We're trying to glorify God by rebuilding his city. And they despise him for it. And they start sending armies against him. And you know what Nehemiah's response is? He goes, hey, that's cool. Look, that's fine. We're going to keep building. Like, we're going to build it anyway. The only difference is now you guys don't get to be a part of how God gets his glory. That's all that's changed. All that's changed is you've chosen not to be a part of this with us anymore. And there's plenty of people in this city that we are saying that to. We are going where God is taking us. We're stepping into our future. We're having a season of fruitfulness. We're letting our faith determine our way. We're fixing our focus on Jesus, and we're going wherever God calls us to go, no matter what. No matter if it's bad business sense, no matter if we're outnumbered, no matter if everyone says you don't have the budget for that, you don't have the people for that, you don't have the giftedness to that. If God said we can have it, we are going after it. And there's a lot of people that oppose us for going, you know what, we're going to stop being a church that cares more about our preferences than the preferences of those that are hopeless and hungry for the gospel. I think that's a great thing to say. And it's weird to me that that's problematic for people, but it is. And we're just openly telling everybody we're changing markets. We're leaving the saved people market. I'm tired of trying to preach the gospel to a bunch of saved people. I'm tired of trying to talk Christians into leaving their church so that they can come to our church, and we call that kingdom growth. It's not kingdom growth. Most churches are not growing through conversion growth. Most churches are not reaching lost people with the gospel of Jesus. They're just doing church a little bit cooler, so they're taking saved people from one church and just attracting them to their church, right? It's like we can just grab everyone and we'll just be, and that's what everybody's trying to do. Like, come to us because we do this better than those guys. And that only works for people that are already saved. And we're going to be the church that's going, look, our mission is to go after people far from God, is to hand the church back to those whom the church is most for. That's our mission. That's what we're about, because that's what Jesus is about. And the more we say that, the more people get frustrated with us. They go, I don't know if I want to go that way. And the theme that I keep seeing over and over and over in the text is that does not change. In the slightest, that does not change what God is going to do with this church in this city. It doesn't change that at all. It just changes who's along for the ride. That's it. And so this is them saying, look, I'm going to give my people the promised land. I already promised it to them. But all these people, they're not going to get to be a part of that anymore. They didn't have the faith. And because they didn't have the faith, they focused on the opposition rather than the opportunity. They focused on the barrier rather than the blessing. And so they are choosing to go back the other way. And so he goes, none of them will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a what, church? Has a different spirit. Because Caleb is different. Caleb doesn't do it the way everybody else does it. Caleb didn't settle when everybody else settled. When other people saw obstacles, Caleb saw opportunity. When other people were afraid, Caleb saw the fruit. When other people wanted to retreat, Caleb says, give me my sword. I'm ready to go to battle. We're going to see that in just a little bit. Like, Caleb's the guy who goes, I don't care what stands against us. All that matters to me is that God stands with us. Let's go. And so God goes, okay, all of you people that doubted, all of you people that settled, all of you people that turned back to what was because you had no vision for what could be, none of you get to go where we're going. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, not just on the mountaintops, but in the valleys. Not just in the times of blessing, but in the times of battle. Caleb follows me wholeheartedly. I will bring him into the land we went to, and his descendants will inherit it. So I'm going to bring him into the land, and his descendants will inherit it. I think it's very interesting that God doesn't actually promise Caleb the land, which is really neat, because Caleb's going to have a test of faith later on where he's going, am I willing to die for something that I myself might not get just so that my kids can get it? And that's really neat. We're going to see that in just a moment. So let's jump down verse 25. So the Amalekites, the Canaanites are living in the valleys. So because of that, turn back tomorrow and set off toward the desert along the route to where? To the Red Sea. You know what direction the Red Sea is? It's backwards. It's the other way, right? You see what God's doing? He's going, okay, because of your faithlessness, you're not ready yet. You're not ready for the blessing. You're not mature enough to maintain and keep the blessing if I gave it to you now. So you don't get it right now. All of you faithless people, you're going to put in the work. You're going to wander in the wilderness. You're going to build up the next generation of scrappy people. I'm going to give it to them because you guys weren't ready for it when I was ready to give it to you. So he says, turn back tomorrow. And instead of going into the promised land, you're going to spend the next 40 years circling around in this journey that should have taken you 3 weeks. You're now going to spend 40 years going back and forth in the wilderness, growing into the people that are ready to possess the blessing that I promised you. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I've heard these complaints and the grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. Remember what I said, that they are their own self-fulfilling prophecy. They are speaking their truth into existence. And God says, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give to you exactly what you spoke. He says, in this wilderness, your bodies will fall. And every one of you, 20 years old or more, who is counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hands to make your home. Not one of you. Now notice, he swore. He promised. He promised in the land. And then goes, you don't get to have the land. And so is God faithful to keep his promises? He is. But are they faithful to receive the promises? They're not. So the land promise doesn't change. God giving the land to his people doesn't change. How God gives the land to the people doesn't change. The battles they have to fight, none of that changes. The only thing that changes is who? Who gets to be a part of this? And he goes, all of you guys that keep going, if only we could go back to Egypt. God comes up with a really simple but effective solution. He goes, I'm going to kill everyone who remembers how good they thought they had it in Egypt. And I'm going to raise up a generation, a wilderness-raised generation of scrappy people that don't know any better but to hope in God. And so they don't remember the glory days. They don't remember when churches were full. They don't remember pre-COVID church when everybody just went to church because that's just what they did. I'm going to let all of those people that are stuck in the past, I'm going to let them die so that all of those that go, you know what, the only way that this grows is if we go to battle. The only way that God blesses this is if we deal with our obstacles, if we face our barriers, if we focus our faith and go, I'm going to step by his strength and not my own. And so all the people that are wilderness raised, he goes, they're going to get the promised land. But all of you that remembers the comforts of your bondage, he goes, I'm going to drift you around in the wilderness until all of you are gone, until we have a group of people that just don't know any better. And tell me that's not the church today. Tell me churches haven't been stagnant because we've had a generation of people that have been so focused on how church used to be that they stopped looking at what church was supposed to be. And so Christianity became a museum and stopped being a movement. It became something you went to and stopped being something that you were because everybody's pointing backwards and everybody stopped looking forward. And so God's response is, that's fine. That entire generation that's focused on what was, I'm leaving you to die in the wilderness so that all of you that don't know what was and is looking forward to what could be can take it. Now, as for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. Let me read that again, church. Now, as for your children, those ones you've worried about, those ones you've tried to overprotect, those ones that you've tried to stop from facing any sort of obstacle and any sort of barrier and anything that's tough, and we don't let our kids do battle because our number one job is to keep them safe and to protect them so they don't have any resiliency and they're afraid of everything and they're afraid to step out in their faith and everything makes them anxious and nervous and embarrassed. Like those children, you raise them like that. You raise them to be so afraid of everything, and every time they run into a problem, they retreat and they want to go back to Egypt. Those are the people that I'm going to drag around the wilderness until I toughen them up enough that they can take the blessings that I had in store for you. You guys see? I mean, tell me that's not the church world today. The God's just not going, you know what, all these people that got stuck in the past, one by one, I'm slowly killing those churches so that all of those who were ready, all of those who had faith, all of those who have been focused the whole time so that they can be the movement that I've been building the whole time. He goes, but as for you, your kids are going to enjoy the land, but as for you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness. I see it all the time. I see people, they're so afraid of letting young Christians explore their faith and step up and step out because they're so afraid, because they're like, there's dangers out there. There's giants out there. Everything out there is trying to kill you. Everything out there is trying to destroy you. So you can't go into any of that because it's bad for you. And God's going, don't you know that's the only way? That's the only way forward. Like, they have to build some resiliency so that they can go and take all of that. And look, my message to you, if you're one of those people, if you're raising your kids where they're afraid of everything, like everything else is bad, you're not allowing them to step out into the future church because you've got this past view in mind. Look, all that's going to happen is that you're going to make them hang around until you're gone, and then guys like me are going to end up pastoring your kids and doing what you should have been doing the whole time. You guys following me? That's what's happening. Like all the people that go, oh, you can't express your faith that way. You can't ask those kind of questions. We already answered those questions. Like our doctrine is done. Case closed. We don't get to reinvestigate that stuff. Like our way is the best way. So you just got to do it the way we've been doing it. Stop worrying about what's next. You realize what's happened, right? You that mentality ended up raising the most unchurched generation ever. And it's okay. I'm not worried about it. Because God's going to give them the land. They're just going to do it through guys like me, man. And it shouldn't have to be that way. Like, there shouldn't have to be a whole bunch of us that, like, we're the preachers that you warned your kids about, and now we're going to be the ones that are pastoring your kids because they rejected the faith that you handed them. And so, look, this is God going, all of you that are stuck, all of you that are settled right now, I'm disposing of you. I'm letting you die off so that the rest of them can take the land. Now, look, that's not a young or an old thing. Because what we're going to see is Caleb takes his promise when he's 85 years old. And so here he's going, everybody 20 and up, except for the faithful ones. It's not all of you. There's some of you. You've been there the whole time. You've been faithful. You've been focused. You've been fruitful. And because of that, you're going to be the ones leading these people, leading this young, scrappy generation of wilderness-raised Christians. You're going to be the faithful, fruitful, focused one that lead them into the promised land. So, but as for you, your bodies will fall in the wilderness. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days explored in the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. This is what it feels like to have God against you, is what he says. So, We're going to just go through this quickly. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community. I feel that God. God's looking down at his people. He's like, I chose these people. And right now he's looking and he's like, I'm going to do this to my entire wicked community. He says, they have banded together against me. They will meet their end in this wilderness. Here they will die. So the men of Moses had sent them to explore the land. Do we have that verse there, or is it in there? Oh, it ends there. Okay, that's fine. Let me make this point then, and we'll move on. I've got one more text I want to show you after this. He said there, right here, this is where it dies. Can we go back to that? I'm going to do this. They will meet their end in this wilderness, and here they will die. Let me make this point. Some of you, that's what's next for you. God is calling some things out of your life. God's going, look, where's your focus? Are you focused on the good things? Are you focused on the problems? Are you focused on the blessings? Are you focused on the barriers? Are you one of those people, you're like, God, wherever you send me, that's where I'm going. I'm ready for the battle if the battle brings me to the blessing. If you're one of those people, then what God is doing, he's taking you to the point where he's going, okay, from here on, everyone else here steps where I step, full of faith, or I leave them to die. And all of you, you've got something in your life. You're like, you know what? There's some stuff. Before I enter the promised land, before I take the next step, before I go where God's calling me, before I become the warrior that God is equipping me to be, before I start moving stuff around to the glory of God and the name of God, there's some stuff that I've got to leave to die in the wilderness. There's some relationships in my life that are not going with me into the next season. There's some habits and some temptations in my life. There's some things that I've allowed to journey with me that do not get to go on from here on out. When you fix your focus on God, when you go, you know what, I'm so full of faith that it doesn't matter if I see the solution, if God is calling me towards it, I'm running towards it. There will always be people and things and habits and attitudes that hold you back. And this is the attitude God has towards them. He goes, this is the day they meet their end. They will meet their end in this wilderness. Here they will die. And so here's what I got for you. What exists in your life that God's going, that doesn't get to go into the next chapter? If you're going to be that way, if that's going to be who you are, if that's going to be the attitude that you have, if that's going to be what your heart is bent towards, if that's going to be your pocket sin, if that's going to be your coping mechanism, if that's going to be the thing that you run to when you should be running to me, like if there's going to be something that's going to keep you from inheriting the promised land, let it die here. This is the day it dies. Can I just say that as a church? Look, if you're coming with us in this transition, on this journey, if you're just like me, you're like, man, I have that Caleb spirit, man. I like Caleb because he's different. I want to be different. I don't want to do it like every other church. I want to reach the people that no one else is reaching. And I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be inconvenient. But I think that's what God has for us to do. If that's you, man, like if you're coming with us, then let me just say, just as a church, all the baggage, all the bad attitudes, all the faithlessness, all the bent and wandering heart, that stops here. That dies in the wilderness. Riverside is not taking any of that garbage into our next season. Here they will die. There's a lot of people who go, I'm not letting it go. I'm not doing it God's way. I don't care about that. I don't see it that way, preacher. I'm going to continue to operate the way I've always operated. And God goes, okay, I'm leaving you behind. You don't get to come with us into the next season. They will meet their end in the wilderness. Here they will die. There's something, man. There's something in your life right now that God's going, you want to go forward? You want to journey on? You want to stay with us? That dies. That doesn't leave the wilderness. That never gets to go to the next place. And so I'm asking you, man, what are you willing to kill? What are you willing to leave behind? Who are you willing to leave behind to go where God wants you to go? Here's how it turns out. Let me show you just real quick. I say real quick. I'm going to try to be quick. Let me show you what happens with Caleb. So Joshua ends up leading the people into the promised land, and they fight battles, and they're clearing out places. Like, they are decimating cities in the name of God. They are just taking over this land region by region, and they kind of get to this area where the battles are dying down, and they haven't touched the giants yet. You remember Caleb's like, there are giants in those hills, and God's like, I'm going to give you that land one day. That land is going to be for you and your descendants. And so now they've gotten to this place where they're like, we've got all this land here, and we're ready to start giving it out to the different tribes. And so they go to Caleb, and they're talking to him about the land that that they want to give him. But here's the thing, they haven't defeated the giants yet. And so this is Caleb's response, and I love this. He goes, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions, the other people according to their convictions. But he goes, my convictions, but my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Amen. So, on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he has said to Moses. So he's 85 years old. Okay, and so he's kept me alive for 45 more years while Israel moved about in the wilderness. Anybody here in their 80s? Any octogenarians in here this morning? I saw a couple. There you go. Okay. So thank you, Guyla and Elmo, being our resident octogenarians in your 80s. 85, above or below? Above 85. Okay. So look, this is you, okay? Because look, you're here, and you've journeyed with us, and you've been on this wilderness journey for a long time. And check this out. So this 85-year-old man is going, so here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong as today, as the day Moses sent me out. You know why? Because it was never his strength. It was always just God's strength, right? It doesn't matter. If God's the one fighting your battles, it doesn't matter how old you are. You're strong enough. Amen? You're not too young. You're not too old. You're not too sinful. You're not counted out yet. You're not too weak. You're not too uneducated. You're not too lost. You're not too far off to allow God to use you to fight his battles. He is 85 years old going, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. This is Caleb going, I'm not ready to settle. God promised me a land. And I know we've cleared out some nice places, but he promised me that hill over there. And they're sitting there going, there's giants on those hills. And Caleb's going, I might be 85 years old, but if God said I was going to take that land, you better believe I'm not letting somebody else fight that battle. He says, you yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and that their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Joshua gives to Caleb an inheritance that hasn't been won yet. And everybody else, man, everybody else is ready to settle. But remember, Caleb's different. You guys saw that. Caleb doesn't do it like everybody else. Caleb's not just there for the blessing. Caleb likes the battle. Anybody here, you just like the battle? Like, let me be honest. Like, I'm okay. If this is as big as our church ever gets, if this is as much community impact as our church ever has, I'm okay with that. But if I'm honest, guys, I like the battle. I like it. I like the challenge. I don't care when the odds are stacked against us, because I want to take whatever it is God has for us to take. And so if you're like Caleb, man, don't settle. Don't settle for less than what God's promised. When somebody goes, look, you can just do it this way. This is easy. Man, we've got a proven method for growing churches. It doesn't matter if it's not God's way. This way works. Let's do this. Let's lean into this. Let's step into this. We can do it like this. This is how we've always done it. We don't have to do it that way. We've always done it this way. And Caleb's so quick to be like, I'm not worried about all that. You guys can go have your blessing. I want to fight for my blessing. I want to go to battle. I want to root out the giants. God gave me some giants to kill. I'm not leaving this world until I've fought everyone that God has me to fight, so that I can receive everything that God has for me to receive. He says, I will drive them out, just as he said. Now, this is cool. This is, you miss this if you're in the NIV. So we're preaching from the New International Version, the translation. It's a good translation, but it's not a word-for-word translation, okay? So one of the things you miss here, it says here, the cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he says. And a more literal way to translate that would be something along the lines of, but if the Lord allows, I will drive them out. And that's so cool to me. Because Caleb is not convinced that he's going to kill those giants. He's just convinced that he's allowed to go to battle with them, that God has promised them that. Here's what Caleb knows. He goes, God said that my descendants are going to take that land. So as long as I'm here, I'm going to be a part of the way that we get it. Now, I might die. I might die trying to slay the giants. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I'm going to go to battle. And if I die, then the next generation, my descendants, are going to take that land. And if I live, then I get to take that land and give it to my descendants. But either way, God promised me not just the blessing, he also promised me the battle. I can't believe I didn't hear an amen. I'm an hour in. Maybe you guys are just tired. So look, we can end here. Let me wrap this up. But look, let me just say, what I love about Caleb is he doesn't settle. Man, he wants to take it. He wants to go to war. He goes, man, God's got a blessing for the next generation. God has a blessing for my descendants. And so I'm not settling for this other piece of land. I'm going there. I'm going to the place where the giants are, and I might die trying to kill giants. But if that's what it takes for the next generation to get to take the promised land, then that's how I want to end my days. And I look at that and I go, man, that's what I want. I don't know where our story ends. Your story and my story. I don't know if we get there. I don't know if we get to see the blessings of the church that God is building in Lafayette, Louisiana. I don't know if we get to see the end result, but I'm going to die trying. I'm going to fight that battle so that the next generation gets to make the difference that you and I have spent our lives trying to make. Caleb goes, give me the battle so that the next people can have the blessing. You promise my descendants, and if I can help them get there, I will. Man, my encouragement to you this morning, trust in God. Be faithful to him. Fix your focus on him, and he will make you fruitful. Don't be afraid of the battle. Don't run from it. Don't go back to what was when God is promising you something better for what could be. Step into your future and be like Caleb. Go, I'm going to be so different that my legend will be my legacy. I will fight giants so that my kids can have the promised land. And I hope that's you, man. I hope you're going, look, man, this is hard. Being a Christian right now in 2022, it's hard. There's a lot of ways to settle. And there's a lot of ways to water it down, and there's a lot of ways to make it about you and make it about your preferences and to get comfortable. And what I'm pleading with you to do is don't let God kill you in the wilderness so that the rest of us can take the promised land. Come with us. And if there's something you got to lay behind, if there's something you got to go, that's not mine anymore, I'm going to let God kill that so that I can step into the next chapter of my life, then I want you to leave this morning going, it dies here. That doesn't go into the next part of my life because the next part of my life is focused on the battle so that the next generation can have the blessing. I want that for our city, and I want that for our church. And here's my conviction, guys. No one else is doing it. No one's doing church that way. Everybody's doing church for them. Let's see how cool we can make it, how comfortable, how convenient, how luxurious, how exciting, how emotional we can make it so that we feel fed regardless of all of those hurting and struggling in our community. And I'm saying, be like Caleb. Be different. Have a different spirit. Tell a good report. Tell people about the kind of church that God is building in your community. Tell people about the kind of marriage God is growing in your home. Tell people about the kind of gospel that you're spreading to your friends and to your coworkers and to the people in your city. Like, tell people about the promised land. And when people go, you can't have that, there's too many giants, then go, that's the hill that I'll die on, because if my kids can have the promised land and all I got to do is kill a few giants, you better believe that being 85 isn't going to stop me from picking up my sword and slaying whoever God puts in front of me. We're going to be the church that battles for our blessing. And my encouragement to you is the battle is not the barrier to the blessing. The battle is part of the blessing. Be like Caleb, man. Enjoy it. Enjoy the fight, because God has good things for us on the other side. If you're here with us and you're wandering in the wilderness, I entreat you, put your faith in him. Lean into him, trust in him, and allow him to grow you into the person you never thought you could be. If you don't know how to do that, but you want to, come and talk to us. You can do it right now as we stand and as we sing.